Hello and welcome to the March 2023 edition of Library Chat, where we talk about books and podcasts, and we'll have special guests and talk about current events. I'm Jody Aldini, Access Service Librarian for the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, and with me today...
I am Angie Houck. I am the Technical Services Librarian.
And I am Leland Smith. I am the Service Specialist with the IMC.
And today we will be talking about daylight savings time, the most wonderful time of the year, or not. It depends on your perspective, I guess.
Also depends on the part of the year that we're going into.
Yes. So since it's spring, daylight savings time is actually this weekend. So on Sunday, we'll all set our clocks an hour ahead starting at 2 a.m. So at 2 a.m., it'll jump to 3 a.m. So in the fall, it goes the other way. So we actually gain an hour. So in the fall at 2 a.m., it'll revert back to 1 a.m. And then you just...
You know, when I was little, I didn't understand that gain an hour, lose an hour thing. Because I was thinking we were gaining an hour a day.
Oh!
And I'm like, this doesn't add up for me.
So you were thinking we were going from 24 hours to 25 hours.
And then the other way, from 24 to 23 when I was little, I'm like, this doesn't add up.
Oh, God.
But I never said anything because I thought, I don't want to sound stupid.
And now you're just outing yourself.
Yeah, I am. But I get it now. And I'm an adult.
Yeah.
So...
But the one thing I have to point out is because when we talked about this last week, it's not daylight savings time with an S. It's daylight saving time. Yes. And that's the eight facts I've printed out. That's the first one on there. And I think probably 90% of the world call it daylight savings time.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and even after finding that out, I still call it savings time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will continue for the rest of your life. Yep.
That's just what it is for me.
There you go.
I'll probably do it too.
The rest of the public.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so daylight saving time actually started in New Zealand in 1916 because there was an amateur bug guy who studied bugs, worked with bugs in his leisure time. So he had a full-time job, and then this is what he did outside of work. But he just needed more daylight to study his hobby. So he actually, for 20 years, petitioned to have daylight saving time. That way he could have more daylight to study his hobby. So after about 20 years, they enacted daylight saving time. But at that time, the First World War started. So it was kind of a combination. Like, he had spearheaded it for so long. But by the time they got around to it, it was World War One.
You know, and I guess I thought it was only the United States that did that until we did some research. And it's not, you know, not every country recognizes it, but there's quite a few that do.
Yeah. So Germany actually instituted it 2 years before the U.S. So we started daylight savings time in 1918, and they started it in 1916. But yeah, it was interesting to see how many countries actually observed it and like the different when they observe it. Like ours starts the first weekend in March and then it ends the first weekend in November. And
there's one place that only does a half hour.
Yeah, where was that?
I can't remember.
See, now,
instead of an hour, they just changed that to a half hour.
To me, I always imagined, first off, daylight saving time was started because of farmers and having more light for farming. That I grew up on a farm. That's what I always heard. And I didn't really think it extended outside of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also never realized, I thought it was a universal then, like everywhere that observed it. It was the exact same day, same time. I didn't think that other countries started in, half hour?
Yeah. I can't remember where it was. I think I found it on Wikipedia. But yeah, there's a country that does 30 minutes, but I would say the majority of them do an hour. And some countries do like the second weekend in March and the second weekend in November, vice versa, or things like that. So we might not all start it at the same time, but roughly it's usually March and like October, November when it gets switched over.
Yeah, and you know, and there's not all, even all states even recognize it. What's the Arizona and
Hawaii?
Yeah, the only two that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think some Indian reservations in Arizona that do recognize it. So that's even crazy.
Yeah, just because. So in Arizona, the Navajo tribe, the Navajo Nation, they don't observe it because they extend into other states that do observe it. So they go along with the states that do observe, So the rest of Arizona does not, but they do too. Just keep everything cohesive.
Mm-hmm. Still kind of crazy.
Just trying to, you know, wrap my head around that. And
yeah.
Traveling into Arizona, you could lose an hour. You could gain an hour.
Well, before everything became, I think it was, what, the 60s or 70s, where it was kind of all streamlined, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, different states and different cities and states could pick and choose whether they did or not. In 1965, in the Twin Cities up in Minnesota, so St. Paul and Minneapolis, they had different clocks. They're right next to each other. So in 1967, the U.S. passed the Uniform Time Act, and that's when Arizona, Hawaii opted out of going with it, but all the other states opted in. So, yeah, even at one point, like, you could be in, the city right next to you. Like, Des Moines and West Des Moines could have different different times.
Which is crazy.
If I'm saying appointment over in West Des Moines, who's an hour ahead of me, I need to be there by 8 o'clock because my appointment's actually at 9.
Yep.
But I have to leave my place at 9 because they're behind me by an hour. I feel like that would be confusing.
Yeah, very much so.
Exactly. There's a couple other misconceptions about daylight saving time. That the biggest misconception is that people think that Ben Franklin invented it. He did not.
He invented a lot of other stuff, but not that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I was taught in school that it started with Benjamin Franklin, so... That kind of concerns me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says here, while Franklin often is credited with the concept of daylight saving time as we know it, he merely suggested that Persians wake up earlier to save money on lamp oil.
Which, I mean, it's a good idea. I also... have seen a lot of information how daylight savings time does cut back on some energy usage, mm-hmm. even to these days. Because if we're up and moving with the light, then you don't need more lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw another thing that said it was pushed back a month to like flip it in the fall. It was pushed back that way companies could sell more barbecues and equipment, like just yard equipment, things like that, sporting goods. Because in the fall, what do you want to do? You want to sit around a bonfire and make marshmallows.
Yeah.
So I heard that was a reason that was pushed back to November, just that way companies could sell more equipment, such as fire rings or...
And I tried to print off some other stuff yesterday, but I was having issues with my printer. But I did read one that it could also be an energy waster, but I can't remember why. So I probably shouldn't have mentioned that, because now you're going to wonder.
How's the energy waster?
I don't know. Let's look. You guys keep talking, I'll keep looking.
Okay, so... briefly earlier, I had mentioned that in 1967, they passed the Uniform Time Act, And then in the early 70s, because of the energy crisis, President Nixon decided it would be good to bring back a permanent daylight savings time. And then in 1976, the U.S. resumed its alternating schedule. And then that's when it got extended in the fall by a month because companies wanted to sell more sports and barbecues or sports equipment and barbecue grills. Yeah, so that was... Oh, and then I found some more research on is daylight saving time hazardous to your health? And basically why it was kind of inconclusive, like you could go either way on it. But one thing I found interesting was it was like the people at the that are at the far east of a time zone instead of, or the far west of a time zone, typically have more, a little bit more chance of having car accidents, because even though, say, the people on the east side of the time zone might have a sunrise at 6 a.m., well, the west side says 6 a.m. too, but the sun doesn't actually rise at that time. It might be 6:30 or so. So because it's actually darker towards the west of the time zone, there might be more accidents. So that I found is interesting.
That is very fascinating. And I also forget about how big time zones are and the idea of there is a difference, even though you're in the same time zone, light conditions, because, like you said,
yeah,
one side might have light at a certain time, the other doesn't.
Yeah, so I had a, I have a cousin who, at one point, she lived in, like, northwest North Dakota, and I went up to see her in May, so right before, you know, the month before summer solstice, and... We were, like, out running around doing things. She was showing me the places, and we were just, you know, out running around doing errands. And I was like, well, I'm getting kind of tired, but the sun's still up. Yeah, it was, like, 10 o'clock at night, and the sun was just starting to set. But it was like we were that much further north where they get more daylight during the summer months. That was, for me, that was weird to experience. And also weird to realize what was happening. Because at first I didn't realize, I was like, why am I tired, but the sun's still out? Well, we were so much further north, they got more daylight.
Yeah.
And I feel like every living creature really kind of syncs their own rhythm to the light.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like you said, you have light, you expect to be awake, but yep. I feel tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, too, and that would throw me off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
really, because you know, in Alaska, they have periods of time where it's dark all the time,
yeah,
and then they have periods of time where it's light all the time. Mm-hmm. So, it has nothing to do with here nor there, but you know.
Yeah, I did go on a cruise to Alaska, and I went in May, so it was the same thing. They got more daylight. What really threw me off, I was talking to my sister about this the other week, and apparently just the motion of the boat made me so tired.
It was kind of like rocks you to sleep.
It was very relaxing. I was like, I have never been more tired. I was like, but we were like doing so much every day, so that could have contributed. But it's like, that was the best sleep I've ever got, just because the boat was rocking, just, you know, slowly back and forth. Back and forth. There was one day, like, the group I was with, the people I was sharing a room with, they're like, they got up, I was like, I need, like, 4 more hours of sleep. And they went and did something, and I ordered breakfast and just stayed in the room by myself. I was like, oh, that was, and then I just opened up the, you know, the door, the balcony door, and got to hear the
water. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was very calming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have been on 3 cruises, and I'm deathly afraid of the water, but I'll just stand at the rail and watch that water. It just is so mesmerizing to listen to it.
Yeah.
So it is.
It's very calming.
Well, I guess I need to schedule my first cruise.
There you go.
I've never been.
Yeah.
It's always been on the list. Maybe head up to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Have nonstop light on my cruise.
Yes, yes.
And then I can report in.
There was, so we left out of Seattle and went up to like Juneau and Ketchikan. So there was some darkness, but it wasn't, it was like 11 to 4 or 5. So, but most of it was daylight. So if you do go, just remember, even though it's May and it's getting warmer here, it's still cold there. So pack layers and don't expect to lay out by the pool.
Unless I'm wearing layers.
Yes. Yes.
So I have another fact here. It says the time change. It can have an impact on your health.
Ooh.
It says losing an hour... excuse me, losing an hour of sleep each March can take a serious toll on your well-being. The shift to daylight saving time has been linked to... That doesn't even sound right. Daylight saving time.
It doesn't.
It can be linked to an uptick in heart attacks, strokes, traffic fatalities, and workplace injuries.
Ooh.
And some sleep experts have called to an end to springing forward altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Are called for. I'm with them. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because by the time you get used to the time change, mm-hmm. it's time to change it back. In my book.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people, their sleep schedules, once you get fixed on a sleep schedule and you get off by an hour... It makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like for me going to Colorado. I'm off an hour, you know, so I'm off that whole week. And then, but it's like a time change.
Yeah.
And so I never get used to it. And then by the time I get back, then settling back in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One statistic I found was that the number of human errors, so like at hospitals, so hospitals have to track like error rates or whatnot, like if there's a med error, like if somebody accidentally pushes like too much of a medicine or not enough. So one statistic I found and with healthcare workers, oh, here's another thing I found interesting. So in the fall when we lose an hour, so we actually have 1 to 2 a.m. twice. My sister works at a hospital and they actually don't chart. I can't remember if it's the first one or the second one, but they are not able to chart that whole time. So they just, you know, write things down or remember it and then chart it later because you can't have the double
in
time.
The system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So the statistic I found was that the number of human errors that happened in the medical field went up by 18.5%. And I'm trying to, the week after, yeah, as compared to the week before. Mm-hmm. So the week before daylight savings time, the error rate went up to 18.5% compared to the week after.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That, you know.
And that's a pretty significant difference.
Yeah. And, one thing I read when I was reading that statistic, it was like, none of it was... Or I shouldn't say none of it. It was not detrimental to the patient. Like, it might be something very minor.
Right.
But was still an error. And
right.
was still recorded. Mm-hmm. So none of this was, like, any way going to be detrimental to the patients.
Although they should be used to, well, not some of them, doctors and stuff. Because you ever watch those shows where doctors, well... I'm on 36 hours in a row. I wouldn't want somebody doing my medical treatment mm-hmm. that's been working for 36 hours straight.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so...
I'm going to go to bed, then come back, talk to me.
Yeah.
they do have on-call rooms, so, like, say they can get a key to the on-call room, and they can actually go to sleep until they're paged. Yeah. So they do get some sleep. They just have to sleep at the hospital.
I don't like it. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It just makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want a sleep-deprived doctor in there performing heart surgery or something? Mm-hmm. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But we're talking about daylight saving time.
And how it's not for the farmers.
And how it's not for the farmers. And Ben Franklin did not get it started.
Ben Franklin didn't create everything.
No, he didn't.
No.
Even though we want to think so. And entomology is the start of all daylight savings.
Yep, New Zealand.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All about the bug.
God, watch those bugs. This is very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. But I suppose if he worked, you know, during the time that he needed the light for his... But still, I can't believe. Yeah. Well, it took 20 years and mm-hmm. the war to get it started really
yeah.
good.
Another fun fact we found during our research was at one time in Iowa, we had 30 different start and end dates or start and end times throughout the state. And that was back before the Uniform Time Code.
Oh, my gosh. Or like you say, talk about making an appointment. Yeah. That would throw you for a loop, wouldn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Planning a trip, organizing, scheduling.
Yeah.
That would be such a headache. 23 different time.
Wow. Times.
Mm-hmm. I did time travel one time. I like to tell a story. Okay, so I had gone down to Florida for Christmas vacation one year, and since it was a very last-minute vacation, plane tickets were very expensive, so we had decided to drive, because it was going to be a fraction of one ticket.
Uh-huh.
So we were driving back, and we hit where it goes from Eastern to Central.
Uh-huh.
So we were in Eastern time zone at 12:30 a.m.
Uh-huh.
On a Sunday. So we drove over and went to Central. Well, it was 11:30 the previous day. So technically, I went back in time.
You did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A whole day.
My family likes to tell me it doesn't count, and I say it does. So we were able to find one book in the collection, one audiobook in the collection, that does deal with daylight savings time, and it's called Spring Forward, The Annual Madness of Daylight Saving Time, and it's by Michael Downing, and the DB number is DB60538, if any of you'd like to call in or email in and request that book. He goes over... so much more than what we do in this podcast, and probably more cohesive.
Yeah.
But not as entertaining. Or maybe.
Maybe.
I haven't read the book.
It depends on the narrator if you're going to listen to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I assume there are no podcasts out there.
There are actually quite a few.
About daylight savings.
Well, they're not all, the whole podcast uh-huh. isn't dedicated to it, but they do have episodes on it. One I found was from Freakonomics. They had one on daylight savings time. Stuff You Should Know, they did one on daylight savings time. Those are the two that are coming to, the top. Those are the two I listen to. The Stuff You Should Know I had listened to years before, and the Freakonomics I listened to after we realized that we were going to do this topic. But yeah, those are both like super informative, and they're entertaining. The Freakonomics goes into more of, I would say, studies that have been done on it. And they give more statistics about it.
Mm-hmm.
The Stuff You Should Know does more of like the history and where it's observed and things like that. So that's the differences between the two podcasts on the topic. There is something going through the federal government to enact a permanent daylight savings time. So once we switch over in spring, just keep it.
Right. One time or the other.
Yeah. But right now it's pretty split. I think it's pretty split down the middle. Like some people don't want it at all. So once we switch over in the fall, just keep it as is. And some people, Some people want it, once we switch over in the spring, keep it as is. Mm-hmm. So right now it's pretty split down the middle on if they want a permanent daylight savings time or not. But yeah, so there is one trying to work its way through the federal government, but...
Well, it shows here the fact that on this sheet it says many states want to stop changing the clock, and it says in the last few years, 19 states have either enacted legislation or passed resolutions to stick to daylight saving time year-round. By implementing the change would require an update to federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Uniform Time Act. Oh my gosh. States can either observe daylight saving time as currently practiced or stay on standard time year round.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and that act was the 1960, back in 1967, when Hawaii and Arizona opted out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the new one is called the Sunshine Act. But it's still trying to work its way through all the federal, so
right.
It's not official.
Yeah.
So, but it's out there.
I'd just like it to stay one way or the other. I don't know which way I'd like it to go, but just stop changing it.
I feel like once we stop changing it, it won't matter either way, because
you're right.
You'll adjust to it, and it's just going to be how it is, and you'll be okay.
But you know, somebody will complain.
Yep,
for sure.
No matter which way it would go, somebody would complain.
I do enjoy the random one night I get to sleep longer without, you know, running late or anything. That's cool. But I don't enjoy the one night where I get less sleep because I have to get up. Otherwise, I'm going to be late.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd be okay with getting rid of it.
Yeah, and I usually have my nephew on both of those days. So, yeah, he's been getting up, and he's 2.5, and he's been getting up at super early right now. So it's like, oh, well, if he gets up at 4:15, which has happened, he'll get up at 5:15 with daylight saving, and that'll make it seem like I'm getting more sleep, but in reality, he's still waking up at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, but it's just a...
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Time is very trippy. That is all I know. Whenever I read a book that has any kind of time travel in it, it always makes my head go, huh? Mm-hmm. And I have to go back and reread a book because, you know, all of a sudden you're talking about in the past, talking in the future, in the present. Just cannot keep things straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do it either.
There are some really great books, though, that have done it. I just have not read too many.
Mm-hmm. Well, even in the Marvel Universe, The Blip, that was like 5 years, and... I can't remember which movie it was. It's one of the newer ones. They explained it very well. They showed the person, like, splashing water on their face, or they were standing in a bathroom, and the bathroom changes all around them.
Hmm.
And that's how they showed, like, 5 years had passed.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. They did it from the perspective of the person who... was gone for those 5 years.
Uh-huh.
But to them, it just seemed like...
an instant.
Yeah, a second.
Wow.
And then everything changed. So that was pretty cool. I like how they did that.
And you don't know... you don't remember what movie that was?
What? No. It was on Disney Plus.
Oh.
So I'm thinking about, like, how much things change in a period of 5 years. Mm-hmm. I believe it. Like, imagine staying downtown Des Moines, and then 5 years pass.
Yeah.
Staying in that same spot, it would not look the same.
No.
There would be things that are changed around you, and it'd be pretty noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because usually, like, day to day or even hour to hour, you don't notice changes. But, like, if you stand in the same spot and it changes over 5 years, and that's a lot more noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just like, you know, like when you see people, you know, if you don't see them for, you know, especially kids, like, and if you don't see them for several years, you know, you... when you see them again, you expect them to look the same, but they're older, you know. And you're like, oh, wow, time did pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it has.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you probably don't know your young kids. I'm an old fogey. And when I was a kid, time just seemed to lag on. You know, oh, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do that. And the older you get, the faster time goes. It's like, holy cow. it's crazy. Because, you know, as a kid, you don't expect... I won't get old. I'll never see 50. Well, hello, I did.
Yeah. Except for 2020, that seemed to take 82 years to get through.
Oh, it did, didn't it?
Oh, it was like the longest year ever.
Maybe we just cracked the riddle, though. Maybe that's why, as kids, things feel like they take forever, because as a kid, most of us don't go too many places.
Mm.
But when we get older, we kind of venture around and we go to work, we go...
No. Yeah, they only have to go to school, and then the rest of the time they get to play. And
so maybe that's where the time sense...
I went everywhere as a kid.
Okay, maybe I was just a sheltered kid.
No, I was a sheltered kid, too. My family never went on vacations.
Oh.
We never went out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, you know, it was... My dad was the only one that worked. And, you know, I had four kids. We lived in a 3-bedroom house. Mm-hmm. My brother shared a room. My sister and I shared a room. And, you know, and it's funny because I'll talk about dishes that my mom had made when we were kids. And basically it was to spread food out. You know, you just kind of get it. And, you know, and some of them, my aunts and, you know, they'd share recipes because my aunt and uncle, well, they both worked. She worked in the school kitchen. She worked in my school. She was my lunch lady at my school. But they had 6 boys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, they would pass around, oh, here, let's how you make this, how you make this bigger and go further, you know what I mean? But I tell people about it today, I'm like, oh, well, that's a weird combination. I said, yeah, but it's good. Because one of my most favorite things is, and I don't like green beans typically, saute green beans and scramble up some eggs and put in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah.
Or like green beans and hamburger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mainly I found that out when I first started to live by myself and I was like, what do I want for dinner? I was like, okay, well, you need a protein and you need a veggie. I was like, okay, well, what can I put in a skillet? I would just start throwing
things
in a skillet. But when I was growing up, so my mom was a nurse and my dad's a farmer. And then we lived right next to my grandparents. And my granddad would have, like, a lot of work that wasn't attached to the farm, so he would do a lot of dozer work for other people, and so would my dad. And there was a lot of times they would just load us up and take him to a job site with them.
Oh.
So it's like, we might not have gone on a lot of vacations, but, like, we were just expected to hop in the truck and go with them to wherever they were going.
My parents had friends that lived in Sheraton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And... to go down there for the day, that was like a big deal.
Oh.
That was a big deal to get in the car and go down to Sheraton. Was that an hour away?
Yeah. our big thing was, because we lived 45 minutes, maybe 50 minutes away from the nearest, like, Walmart or, like, Big, or, like, Aldi.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our big thing, is to be able to load up and go grocery shopping. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we had our little mom and pop store
right
in our hometown. But, like, to actually go get a whole bunch of groceries, that was our big thing, is to load up and go to the city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We would go to Missouri. That was my family's big vacation thing. We would go down to this big old Fleet Market in Rutledge.
Oh, yeah.
And that is about... the only thing we would do as a family traveling wise, drive 2 hours, 3 hours to Rutledge.
Yeah.
Look at a whole bunch of stuff, maybe find some cool things, most times not, and then come back.
And like I say, we never went out to eat. And there would be 2 places that, you know, we'd go get the food and bring it back.
Mm.
And one was, there was a hamburger joint on Southeast 14th called Jeff's. And that's a long time ago. But then McDonald's came in and ran them out. But my mom loved that place. So we would go to Jeff's and get burgers and some onion rings. And then the other place we go is the La Pizza House.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big, if you're a Southsider, the Southeast Bottoms, where I grew up, that was the big thing, was that La Pizza House. Mm-hmm. And it closed down for a little while, but then it reopened around the corner. And then it closed, and now another part of the family has opened it up, I think, in Ankeny or Altoona. Ankeny. I don't know. One of them. I think it's Russ. I don't know the name of Russ and Abby's or... Anyways, the Politos that own it. But sausage pizza and onion rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been there before. It was over off 14th, and it was like a two-story building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So that's the, I'm not sure which iteration of that it was, but that's the one I went to, is the two-story one. Because I was just so amazed that a Pizza House was two stories. Because usually it's just like,
right,
like one story ground level. And I was just like, oh, there's a two-story Pizza House?
Yeah.
It just like blew my mind.
Like a party room upstairs, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Huh. When I was in college in Ames, there's multiple pizza places, or were, that had a second story to the restaurant. I just didn't really think about it, but yeah, no, that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah, I'd never seen it before. La Pizza House, yeah,
yeah, that's our. Anybody that lived up in that or lived around that area, you mentioned the La Pizza House. Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's all I have, kids. What
that's
about
all
you?
I have as well. How about you, Mr. Leland?
Oh, I'm out of coffee. I mean, that's all I have.
Well, thank you for joining us today about our discussion about daylight savings time, or as it's correctly called,
daylight saving time. I'll never get used to that.
No,
so
never.
I'm with you. It'll be savings time till I croak.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Now I'm gonna actually like be paying attention to see if people say savings. Or saving.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I've been doing. Because every time she says it, I know she's...
I can see the little twinkle on her eye. I'm like, I know I
said it. She said the S.
Well, if nothing else, people will know. Daylight saving time.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the little secret.
Yeah. There's no plural.
No. Well, thank you for coming, and we will see you next month for Library Chat.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.